Yep.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for joining us on the couch for this episode of the Weird Obscure World podcast.
I have been abducted.
Wait, what?
The main forms they take are reptilian entities.
Welcome to the show.
Holy Hannah, it's been a morning trying to get this crap up and going.
Well, nothing but the best for us.
That's right. Another week.
Yes.
Another week of weird news.
Fun news.
I go first this week.
Yes, and you've got the main show.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I like it, and I want to apologize to everyone. We did a super fun failed attempt at Facebook Live, and yeah.
It was great.
I think we'll try it again, but from everything I'm reading, it sounds like Facebook,
I think
it sounds like the issue might be on their end. Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. So, my story this week.
All right.
Sent to us from the beautiful, the magnificent Magdalena.
Magnificent?
Yes. And listen.
Magnanimous?
Mags, listen. We're in competition here. You can't send it to both of us.
Yeah, what is up with that?
You gotta choose. You have to make a choice, Mag. Maggie, you have to decide. Maggie. I Team Betsy, the righteous team? Or am I Team Jared, the unrighteous, unholy team?
Don't listen to her, Maggie. Maggie, we're the same age. Us elderly people have to unite.
So we did rock, paper, scissors. I won. I'm taking it. Here's the headline. Arctic marathoner donates amputated toes for Yukon Hotel's infamous cocktail.
Ugh. I think it's awesome.
So there's a cocktail, a toe cocktail?
Okay. So let me lay it out for you.
So gross.
You take a shot of whiskey.
No.
And you drop the digit in the shot. Now.
What do you do with the digit?
You don't drink the digit.
Thank God.
But the digit has to touch your lips. Yeah.
So it's a
toe shot.
Okay, so this marathon runner, did he lose his toes because he's in the Arctic?
Yeah, it's a Yukon marathon. So you run a marathon in negative weather. Every year people lose not just toes, fingers, and feet. I think it was the year before when he ran. No, the year before he ran, 2015. A guy lost both his feet to frostbite.
Okay, so let's dive into this. People, running a marathon is hard enough. Is it really, truly necessary to do it in the Arctic?
What if you want to push yourself? You really want to struggle. You want to have the hardship.
Why?
They're already running marathons. We've already established that they're not the... I don't want to abuse marathon runners. They're already kind of crazy people.
Holy cow. Dude lost his toes in a...
Yeah, he lost his...
Arctic,
I think it was
marathon.
Toes, his big toe and the two next to it.
It's not okay. So
but he still got his pinkies.
It says...
Imagine what his toes would look like, just the two on the end, his feet.
So Nick Griffiths... is the fantastic toe donator.
He's a British guy.
Said he didn't want to waste his... He didn't want his toes to go to waste. That not all of them were going to make it home with him after he had been evacuated from the Yukon Arctic Ultra by snowmobile. So they picked him up on snowmobile. Mm-hmm. He was suffering from deep frostbite. It's a 300-mile race. Okay, Les, you know, if you're listening... don't even think about it. This is not for you. I know you like to push your limits. You just forget you ever heard this. The 47-year-old, he's old enough to understand. The 47-year-old ultramarathoner from Britain had been slogging through the snow and ice out in the Canadian wilderness for 30 consecutive hours. Unbelievable. These people are nuts.
I love it.
So it was so cold that his eyes were frozen open, it says.
Can you share the picture of him with his frosty beard?
It's up right now.
Outstanding.
But
I like the toe shot thing. You join a club by taking a nip with a dead toe in it.
I don't want to be a part of that club.
Ooh, there's the mummy's foot down there at the museum.
They said they were really happy to get the big toe because they've been without a big toe for a long time.
Yeah, someone probably accidentally swallowed it.
A big toe? You would choke. You'd have to chew twice.
Well, he probably, suffered it down. Had to order a second shot to wash it.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
And then the whole day you've got to walk around thinking, I've got a dead toe in my stomach.
This is ridiculous. Ooh. Anyway.
Would you join that club?
No, neither club. I don't want to run in the Arctic. Because I'm a human. I'm not designed for that.
But would you
join the dead toe club? No, I don't want to slop on a dead toe.
Would you let it touch your lips?
No.
It's in whiskey. It's safe-ish.
It's disgusting. Mm. So gross.
What if we put it in a nice brandy?
I can't do toe shots. So a friend of mine runs marathons, and I have been basically morally opposed to them since I heard that.
They're super hard.
No.
Like 23 miles since.
Okay, so 23 miles. The Arctic Marathon is 300. Yeah,
it's not quite a marathon. It's more of a hump.
No, it's more of a death run, people. But that most marathoners lose their toenails during marathons.
They pop off. I lost my toenails multiple times in the military.
Which is disgusting. So when you see these marathon runners, they stop and they pull their shoe off and shake their sock out. Mm-hmm. It's not because they've had a rock fall in there. It's no.
The toe works its way under and starts carving into you.
So they are shaking their toenails out on the marathon route. I think there should be a toenail collector because that's biological.
You just went gross.
But listen, what if I'm following up on this marathon route like 3 weeks later and I happen across someone's toenail?
Kick it off the side. I ain't picking it up.
It's like the people that follow the horses on the parade route.
Or what if we get in line with one of the bars here and I make a marathon toenail drink?
Can't do it, Jared. I didn't go gross. You went gross.
Floating big toenail.
So gross. Okay. Mags, send me the good ones.
Thank you for the story.
We're like this.
Maggie. Maggie, my dear. We're the same age. We can't let these youngins. We can't let them take us down.
That's a terrible story.
Aegis unite. We'll have our own flag. It'll be hands up, holding like a cane or a walker or something. It's
too much. Too much.
We're not quite that old yet. We're holding up a bottle of Metamucil.
You're not that old yet.
I should start taking it, though. Get ahead of the game.
All right. What's your story?
All right. So, I go back to Florida, people.
All right. Let's hear it.
This comes from Rare.com, Rare Humor, but it looks like the story was initially on NBC Miami, so has some validity to it. Unlucky Florida man thought he was stealing opioids, but he got laxatives instead.
Where did he steal these from?
So I'm not going to verbatim read the story. I read it. I'm going to give you the words. So he breaks into someone's house.
Okay.
He's rooting around in their medicine cabinet, but they got security cameras.
They keep their meth in their medicine cabinet?
it's opioids. It's like pills. Like
So it wasn't like a. He was looking for like OxyContin and stuff.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was okay. Like oxycodone, I think. And so he sees this oxycodone pill bottle in the medicine cabinet, grabs it, and runs. As he's running down the street, he pops open the bottle and like, wait a second, these don't look right. So he throws them. Now, that's the sad part of the story. They were laxatives.
That's the sad part.
And he found out they were laxatives because he saw that they weren't his candy. And it would have been much better had we had a 911 call accompanying this.
Yeah.
Like, hello, 911. I can't stop. Oh, it's so much. Flush. It's filling up. Oh, God. Flush, you know. Or does he inject them? What happens if you inject laxatives?
So what if, yeah, what if he like tried to crush him up? Like
or smoke him? He's got the glass pipe up, cooking laxatives. Man, this crack smells like chocolate, you know. Oh, man.
It's the best I ever had.
But he read them, or he looked at the pills and like, this ain't it. So somebody either has been robbed before.
Yeah.
Or maybe their laxative bottle was in their gym bag, because you do. And gym bag bumps the door frame on the way to the gym, breaks open the laxative bag, and he or she, the individual's like, man. And they, oh, I'm taking my last oxy whatever for my foot pain that I got last month. So I took the last one, got an empty vessel for the new laxative, shakes a bag out in it, maybe a couple of loose, you know, those little foxtail weeds are in there too, you know, a couple of public
perhaps hairs. Perhaps a toenail, a public hair.
Yep, public hairs. Public hairs are everywhere. But yeah, so that's a funny story, but I think they crashed the ending. This guy let me down. He had the opportunity to climb to the tippy top of what can be done. And he fell short. Had he taken the laxative, had he gone for that high? And what if he would have discovered, what if he discovered the new high? His OD on laxatives.
Smoke your laxatives.
Well, no, even just however you take them. You know, I don't know how, but what if that? The extreme evacuation causes a high, it causes the blood loss. You're seeing stars. Next thing you know, laxatives, you have to go in and show your ID to buy them because people are chasing that brown dragon. Oh, we could take it there.
The brown dragon.
Let's spread that people, far and wide.
Listen, if there was a high from extreme evacuation, the modeling industry is experiencing it.
Do
and
they
has
do
been.
That a lot?
Has been for years.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you'd think they wear swimsuits. You'd think that a hemorrhoid would pop out.
Perhaps.
You need a bidet.
Yeah.
Definitely. Anyways, maybe they got a stick to push them back in. I don't know. But that's my, the modeling in the,
yeah. They've okay. been doing it for years.
All right. Well, that's my story.
Maybe it was a model and she just didn't want people to know that she was taking laxatives, and it was better if she said, "Yeah, I've hurt myself." And
it's totally okay if I put it in my drugs. They expect me to take those.
Yeah,
both make you skinny, apparently.
So, this week's full show is on an interesting subject for me. I happened across it. We're going to call it, as most of the documentaries I've watched on it now, call it Radium Girls.
Radium Girls. It sounds like a cool band.
Yeah, well.
Like they'd be in Cleveland playing in an amphitheater.
Radium. It's a thing. So, radium is a chemical element, atomic number 88 to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And in the form of radium chloride was discovered by Marie and Pierre Curie. Now, Marie Curie was the first female to ever win a Nobel Prize.
Yep.
And she did for the discovery of radium.
Yep. Oh, and she did something else for the discovery of radium. What was that? Oh yeah, she died.
Yeah, she did. But prior
it
to
killed her.
Yeah, prior to her death, what they found is that radium, which has a half-life of 1,600 years and decays into radon gas, it actually excites fluorescent chemicals and causes radioluminescence.
Yeah, so if you've got any of those, well, the main one is military watches. I've got one in the room. I should have brought it in. But the military watches where the hands glow or any...
Correct.
Any watch with the hands on it that glows, that's usually from radium. They make Trigicon out of it.
Yeah.
So those new sights on firearms where it's got that little tube along the top, it collects sunlight and then glows and gives off a power source. But yeah.
So radium girls, you ready? Radium girls were female factory workers that were contracted to paint the faces of watch dials with the self-luminous paint. What they found is in these, so first of all, it was a huge corporation. The Radium Corporation was huge. And the scientists knew since 1900 that radium was super dangerous to use.
Well, yeah, it killed the Marie Curie.
Well, she wasn't dead at the time of this. But the radium would arrive at these plants and the men would suit up to handle it. Gas masks, big,
and then they just send the women in there.
So
in their skirts. Oh my God.
So here's the deal.
Oh.
Here's the deal. These women were working in this radium plant. They were making about a penny and a, or yeah, 1.5 cents per watch face. And God. The women were completely exposed, just sitting at desks with these little tubs of radium.
Where was this company at?
In the United States.
Please tell me this company has been destroyed since then.
It has.
Oh.
It has. Not without huge fallout. Huge fallout. So...
Was that a pun on purpose?
No, actually. The women in each facility had been told the paint was harmless. Now, prior to painting watch faces, this radium was put in water and sold. It was put in face creams because it gave off this bioluminescence. It was put in...
Water for drinking? Or?
Yes. Like bottles, they called it radiated water.
Okay, go on.
And it was sold. So... It wasn't a far stretch for anyone to believe that it was safe because it had been given in ingestibles for a while.
They're making the frogs gay.
Now, it was known long before this, and Marie Curie actually did an entire paper.
Did the FDA like let this stuff go?
Yes. Because the Radium Corporation was making a ton of money.
See, I need to do a story on the book, The Jungle. That's what started the FDA. And I'll do a story on it one day. The FDA, go on. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This is disgusting.
So the first radium factory was in Orange, New Jersey, beginning in 1917. And then there was another one in Ottawa, Illinois in the 1920s, and another one in Waterbury, Connecticut. So in total, they figure about 4,500 ladies.
Oh, that's it?
Well, and the ladies were the only ones who took this job because it paid better, three times almost better than any other job. They had, most of them had been separated because of the war, so they had to handle business at home on their own, and they were told.
So these are... single mothers.
Yes. So they were told that this paint was harmless, and they were instructed, because this radium paint at the time was $36,000 per gram. At that time, 1917, that's like $3 million per gram. So what we have found since then is that 1/10 of a microcurie is considered the highest level of exposure. These women were getting about 1,000 microcuries a month. By doing this painting technique where they would, they called it lip tipping. They would put the brushes in their lips and roll them around to get a really super fine point so that they could paint these watch faces. And then dip them. And then, I mean, one of the women that actually only worked there a month and actually survived this terrible, you know, working conditions, she said that she figured for each watch face, she probably dipped it in her lips 17 or 18 times for each watch face. And they were doing hundreds of them a day. So some painted because it was considered, I mean, craziest things. The women, because it was, there was this powder, it was like a powdery stuff, was in the air. If they were going out that night, they would wear their dresses that they were going to wear out into the factory that day so that their dresses would glow when they would go out on their excursions later that night. They were painting their fingernails. They were...
I want a happy story, Betsy.
They were also...
Who invented Build-A-Bear?
Right. They were also painting it on their teeth. It was considered... Literally, even though they would see the scientists come in, they weren't making the connection, or they were just being told otherwise. First of all, the men who would carry this radium in.
Comes in one of those big bubble suits.
Right. The scientists.
SCBA on their back.
The owner at the time, or the.
Was he drug out and shot?
Well, he.
Did I lose? Oh, I'm here.
The owner. I don't know if he was the owner. He was the head guy at the time. He actually went into one of these rooms where they were painting and he said, stop, you can't do that. This stuff is dangerous. As soon as he left, it was on record in the subsequent, trials that the manager came, the supervisor came in and said, no ladies, it's totally fine.
Was he drug out and shot?
I think
no. Hung.
I don't think so. So
drawn and quartered.
It would be, yeah. So
just drag him down the street behind an old pickup. Anything.
So the Radium Corporation, originally called Radium Luminous Material Corporation.
So this is these are a whole bunch of probably mostly, what year was this?
It was 1917 to 1926. Short.
So their husbands. Time. Are off in World War One.
Yes.
And then possibly not coming back.
Yes.
So they're trying to manage, bring home money because, you know, they've got lots of kids. And that cocksucker.
Yeah. So.
Where was he buried?
You want to go flip him over?
I want to go dig him up, flip his headstone upside down and bury him again.
So this lip dip,
and I'm not putting any of the sod back.
This lip dip paint technique that they did was deadly so fast that the only known survivor to have survived this in that room unscathed was there less than a month.
The only reason
she survived. And let me tell you, she survived terribly. She suffered from many different types of bone cancer.
The
and
only
stuff.
Person not to die of cancer really fast.
Right. She lived to be 107, actually.
Jesus.
And she lived to tell her story about her radium poisoning.
She lived to 107?
107 years old. She died in 2014.
Oh, my gosh.
So she said she had worked there for less than a month. Most of that time she was spent just training. So she was only doing the lip dip paint series for about 10 days. Mm. 10 days. 10 days, and she suffered like bone loss. They did these autopsies of the women who had passed and found that their bones had become like honeycomb.
So their cancer was a little bit of people in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what happened is these women started coming forward and saying, you know, listen, I'm sick. I think it's this. And as, you know, big corporations have had a tendency to do, the Radium Luminous Corporation that was changed to U.S. Radium said, no, your teeth are falling out from syphilis. They said, you've clearly got syphilis. They were...
Them women are ladies of the night.
Yeah. They were paying doctors to confirm that it was from bad dental hygiene and from syphilis. There was one doctor that came forward and said, listen, there's something going on. And he put together a study of these women. Now, at the time, the only way to test the level of radium exposure would be to turn the bone to ash. So he had all living victims at this time. So he couldn't do that. So the first use of the gamma ray was used.
And then the Hulk came out. And the Hulk went to the Radium Corporation, yeah. Lost his, or Lady Hulk.
Maybe this is where it
Lady
started.
Hulk went to the Radium Corporation, beat the manager to a pulp. They had to bury him in a bucket when she was done with him. Okay, I like where the story's going. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Yeah. Please send us in a happy story. Give us any suggestion on a happy story.
Listen, we have to cover stories like these. We have to cover stories like these because they are what make up our history. And if you look at the vaccine epidemic right now, the HPV vaccine is given, to so many kids at such a vulnerable age, starting at the age of 12, 13 years old, to stave off forms of cancer. It's causing cancer. History is repeating itself. They were told it was safe.
I read a funny story. You know what's about? What's on the verge of extinction?
Humans.
No. What? Crabs.
Like
the
venereal crabs?
Yeah. Because everyone does so much grooming down there. Crabs got nowhere to hang on to.
Oh.
They're dying off, people.
Quick, make a vaccine.
Put them on UNICEF. Is it UNICEF that does the extinction list? How funny would that be? They're protected.
Save the crabs.
You can't shave your public areas anymore.
Oh, stop it.
What if crabs went extinct? Would we be up in arms about that? Would it be we'd have a commercial with that lady that sings in the arm of the angel? Going close up of crab faces.
Crabs.
In the arms of the angel.
You're terrible.
Anyway, sorry. Go on. I don't like this story.
I know.
I know we need to share it.
Yes. It's important that we cover these things.
Couldn't someone else share it and we could do a happy one, though?
So the first person, Grace Fryer, bless her heart, she finally found a lawyer willing to take on U.S. Radium. The slow-moving cords held out for months. U.S. Radium had paid them, knowing that these women would be dead soon, so they would have no litigants.
What about the kids?
I don't believe we've heard anything about the impact on the children. But this radium was taken home. What they were finding is it was all over their clothes. It was airborne. It was in their hair. They would glow at night when they would get home, literally glowing humans. So there had to have been some spread beyond the radium facility.
I'm starting to agree with that weird religion that doesn't like people.
And I have to tell you this. So 1917 to 1926, these plants were open. At the first court appearance in January of 1928, two women who had worked at that were bedridden, and none of the women at this litigation could raise their arms to take an oath. That's how bad their bones were.
Mm.
A total of five factory workers, dubbed the Radium Girls, joined the suit to begin with. It became this media sensation, and it triggered some good did come of that. It triggered the enactment of regulations governing labor safety standards, including a baseline of provable suffering. So they were the first. This was the first. Employees began asking for compensation. They were refused by the management of the Radium Corporation. The demand for money by sick and dying former employees continued into the 1930s before a suit that came before the Illinois Industrial Commission was brought. And in 1937, so 11 years later, they found an attorney by the name of Leonard Grossman, and he took them to task. He won. And they were finally forced to pay in 1939. It only took him 1 year.
Leonard Grossman.
Yeah.
If you're still alive, you're my hero.
Kind of a badass.
I like it.
Each of the Radium Girls were given a settlement of $10,000, which would have been equivalent to $146,000 in 2018.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's nothing, but it's something because it bankrupt Radium Corporation.
Yeah, but they should have.
Yeah.
They should have. I mean, we've talked about, I'm not all for the you know, corporal penalties in the legal system, but that manager that told them to do it, I mean, can we bring back, have you ever heard of, I think it's called the Fluttering Eagle?
No.
It was a Viking one. Well, picture there's a stump, right?
Uh-huh.
And what they do is they would tie the manager, we'll call him Richard Noggin. They would tie him on the stump face down. So his chest was on the stump and he would tie down to it. And then they would cut the skin on his back away so that it cut down the middle and the sides, and they would lay the skin out and expose his ribs. And then they would break the ribs right next to the vertebrae and break them open and lay those on the skin.
And he would live through this?
Oh, he's alive the whole time. Well, it kills him. And then they take the lungs out and throw them up over his shoulders. And his heart and his lungs would all be shivering. They call it the Fluttering Eagle. I think we should bring that back in some cases.
Well, that's pretty
We gross. Just need to get some good stumps.
Where can we find a good stumps these days?
That guy, how many? Okay, I shouldn't lay it all on that guy. But I want to, because he's the only one you pointed out so far. The men that worked there that would bring that stuff in and see these women doing that, where were they?
I think.
Why didn't they say?
I think they were all told it was fine.
Wear this.
Yeah, you would think that you would be able to make the connection regardless of what you're told. But you have to remember, this stuff was being sold in markets to drink.
Oh, yeah.
So perhaps they thought, well, they're just wearing these suits so that they don't take a bunch of the product home with them on their clothing because it's super expensive. I don't know what the thought process was as they would watch this product being carried in. There have been some pretty significant scientific impacts. Robley D. Evans measured the first measurement of exhaled radon and radium excretion from a dial painter in 1933 at MIT. He gathered dependable body contact measurements from 27 and found them to be off the charts. They had so much in their system, they were breathing it out. And the ladies. Mm. It was measurable from their breath that they exhaled. Additionally, the Radium Corporation tampered with a bunch of autopsies, actually stealing the bones to try and stave off this litigation so that they couldn't be used in trial. Because the bones to this day, are encapsulated because the radium has a half-life of 1,600 years. So from the day that these ladies died, 1,600 years later, our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren, hold on, I don't even know if the Earth's still going to be here in 1,600 years, but their bones will still be emitting half-life. So at 1,601 years, they assume that that radium will start to decline. But to this day, the bones glow in the dark. And did you know that all of Marie Curie's notes are still encapsulated because they give off so much radiation? Her notes.
Oh, I bet.
Give off so much radiation that they're considered dangerous.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
This is happening over and over and over again. And when I read this, I was more surprised by the fact that I wasn't surprised than I was surprised by the fact that they did this. Because asbestos, check.
Yeah.
The polio vaccine, check.
What does the polio vaccine do?
Well, the polio vaccine that you and I received causes brain cancer.
Oh, hey.
They no longer give it because it causes brain cancer.
But was that, I mean, did they know then that it causes brain cancer?
No, they knew it.
Whereas this radium, they knew.
They knew, they didn't know the total, they knew it was dangerous.
But when the owner, whoever comes in and says, oh, what? Stop
doing that.
Why didn't he fire the manager that day?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how the facility was set up. I don't know if perhaps, you know, if I look at large corporations, which I've worked for a few, I would say that in most of them, one person doesn't know what the next person is doing and that their goals are not often aligned, perhaps because one of the reasons that they did the lip dip technique was because the radium was so expensive and dipping it into a cup of water,
you would have lost some.
You would have lost. And they found it was, we're talking $36,000 a microgram.
Why didn't they use a toothpick?
Yeah. Well, probably because of the nature of it, you had to paint it on, mixed it with a gum arabic type of glue, kind of like a, what is that called? Rubber cement kind of glue. It was mixed in something like that. And so you had to get the stroke. So perhaps a toothpick wouldn't give you that, where these fine tipped paint brushes did. Mm. So perhaps the manager was tasked with use as little as possible at any cost. And the owner was taxed with make money, make money, make money. And he's passing that down to the manager. So I would say in a lot of cases, it's the lack of total oversight that causes this type of thing. Nobody's watching this.
So it destroyed the company.
And it destroyed the lives of about 4,000 women.
Yeah, that's the horrible part. But right. As it destroyed the company, did anything bad happen to these men who oversaw this?
Not that I've been
did
able
to lose a house. No, tell me perhaps. They at least stepped on a nail.
I mean, something. They may have.
One of them get tennis elbowed down at the courts. You know, did one of them throw his back out golfing?
So the first president, Joseph Kelly, he was fired. I'm not sure who made that decision or why, but he actually went on to establish a competing firm called the Luminous Process Company, which also employed women in the same fashion. So he just moved on and did it again somewhere else.
And they did the same thing?
Yep. beyond that, I don't see any. I mean, the corporation took a hit, but I don't see any personal prosecutions.
Did the corporation just change its name and say, oh, we failed?
Oh, I hope not. Perhaps
Standard Oil, the number, and call it a day.
Yeah. I don't know what we use radium in today.
We still use them in watch faces. I've got a watch that the Army issued me.
That has radium.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me nervous.
Has a little down in the corner. It has a little nuclear symbol on it. You can't throw it away. You have to get rid of it the right way. That's why I keep it. It's kind of cool.
So I wonder, because it says that that radium has two sources of radioluminescent, and one of them is a less dangerous isotope. I wonder if they've moved to using that versus the more dangerous isotope.
Well, it's in an enclosed case. I don't know if that helps. I don't know. Maybe I'll get ass cancer later from wearing it.
Yeah.
But, and it's just a tiny amount just on the tips. And I'm sure they put it in a material. The binding material is probably something they probably designed to trap it. I'm sure my watch was made in the 80s. I'm sure that they've come through. Then again, who knows? I mean, I was in the Army. It's not like they didn't feed me weird foods a couple of times too. So,
right.
Maybe.
So I think, like most things, radium was born out of the curiosity of a scientist, Marie and Pierre Curie.
Mm-hmm.
They did a bunch of testing on it and, you know, found it to be absolutely lethal to tumors and things. They were injecting it into tumors and seeing them decrease in size. I think the testing wasn't broad enough for us to understand the full ramifications.
It would kill a tumor then, but then later on you would have a different form of cancer.
Well, that's how it is today.
Yeah.
If you go in and you receive chemotherapy, you're almost guaranteed to get leukemia. And leukemia is much harder to cure than most other cancers that they treat you with chemotherapy for. So I think it started with humble beginnings. I think that it was ramped up because of the war. These soldiers needed to be able to see their watch faces at night. And that's what the push was. They actually invented, just prior to putting this luminescence on the watch face, they invented the strap versus the pocket watch, because up until then it was just pocket watches.
Yeah.
So they invented the strap so that the soldiers could wear, the infantry could wear these watches versus having to dig around in their pockets for them. And then this became kind of the next application.
And then soldiers would just look cooler with the chain going across. Have that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Radium Girls. There's a couple of books. I've actually ordered a couple of them to, you know.
Oh, just some light reading.
Well, it's
cheer you up.
It's interesting to me because we haven't learned from this. We have not learned anything from this. We need to understand the things that we are doing in full before we put it out to the public, before we hire a bunch of people, before we inject it into people, we're putting it in water. Before we do that,
we have to
understand.
I want to start a Save the Crabs GoFundMe.
Save the Crabs.
We'll have marches.
What does one of those even look like?
Probably like a little tick or something.
Yuck.
In the arms of the angels.
Stop it.
Far away from here.
Oh, radium. Radium, toenails. Stop it. They used to put radium in chocolate. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
Don't ruin chocolate.
It was in toothpaste, suppositories. They used it for the treatment of impotence. Yeah, radium.
My bum hole glows. Well, so does your penis.
That's right. And now you have bone cancer. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a horrible story. People, send us your happiest story. If you do, I promise you, if you send me a happy story, I will cover it next. Yes. I'll research it and cover it.
We should cover the Ben and Jerry thing, and we should eat Ben and Jerry's while we cover it.
Boy, that's a sacrifice.
I know. I know. We could take one for the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we could.
Anyway, thanks for joining.
Yeah. Thanks for joining. I won't have nightmares now.
Like, share, rate, review.
Subscribe, share with a friend.
Join the conversation.
Yeah, definitely send me a happy story.
Send us some happy stories.
Maggie.
We're depending on you. Although she sent us the toe story.
Maggie, homegirl, send her the unhappy story. Send me a good, happy one. I'm going to research Build-A-Bear.
Yes.
Who invented it? Who started it? What was the idea? They've got like machines, right?
They do.
Like you go in there and it's like a big robot.
You've never been?
No.
Jared. It needs to be part of your discovery.
I think it will be. I'm going to build me a Build-A-Bear.
Okay.
I'm going to build a funny one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have Yeti Build-A-Bears.
Dude.
They even have alien ones.
Dude.
Yeah.
A Sasquatch Build-A-Bear.
Well, I think the closest thing they have to the Sasquatch is the Star Wars collection. They have a Chewbacca.
That's not a Bigfoot.
That's close enough.
I wonder if I could get a Build-A-Bear with the big red ass.
I don't know. I doubt it. It's kind of vulgar.
Build-A-Bear, let's get together. Let's make this happen. Start a revolution. And we could get stuffed crab lice for my GoFundMe.
Oh, stop. So gross.
Everyone who donates $50 or more gets this stuffed, you know, crap.
Oh, Jared. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining. Have a great week.
Yeah. See you Wednesday.
Wednesday. Definitely Wednesday.
Yeah. Definitely Wednesday. Definitely at Walmart.
Definitely Wednesday.
All right.
Bye. Have a good week.
Bye.